In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is never
shy. So on this first Sunday of Lent, we commemorate the triumph of Orthodoxy, which is when, after over 100 years of battling with the iconoclasts, the icons were finally restored. The icons actually weren't restored at the Seventh Ecumenical Council. That was when the church declared that it was right for the icons to be restored. But after that time, there were still other iconoclastic, which means icon-smashing emperors, that would take them out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it'd be like to come into a church like this that was completely bare, bare walls, all the icons, and ones that you may have been used to worshiping with were all of a sudden gone because a new emperor came who said, get rid of the icons. And so what happened was 50 years after the Seventh Ecumenical Council, when it was declared that it is truly meet and right to venerate icons, not to worship, but to venerate icons, the Empress Theodora, who was the widow of the previous emperor who had actually been an iconoclast, on the first, not the first Sunday of Lent, on Forgiveness Sunday, came in and venerated an icon in front of the patriarch. And he didn't react. And so on that first week of Lent, she prayed that God would forgive her husband, who, as I said, was an iconoclast. And then she and the patriarch and the bishops and priests and deacons all brought in icons, and on the first Sunday restored them in the church, hung them up in the church. And that's why we celebrate this on the first Sunday of Lent, because that happened on the first Sunday of Lent. But like I said, imagine what this place would be like without all the wonderful icons, without the beautiful icons of Christ and his mother and of the saints. The icons are not just religious art. They're not just something pretty for us to see. They're not just for telling the stories of the scriptures and of the saints, although they do that as well. But the icons are a manifestation of the incarnation of Christ. They remind us that God became man. We didn't depict God prior to the incarnation. There's no depicting of God before that because no man has ever seen God. But once the second person of the Trinity became man, then we can depict him. We can depict him because we saw him and we touched him and we embraced him and kissed his feet. And so once this has happened, once humanity has seen God and embraced him and kissed his feet and done all of those things, then we can depict him whom we have seen. And so the icons aren't just pretty decoration, but they remind us of that. They remind us of the fact that our God became matter, became a man, became part of his own creation. And to deny that, to deny the icons, is to reject that. It's to reject the fact that God became matter, that he became one of us. And when we do that, all of a sudden, there becomes this great divide between spirit and matter. And you get to what's called dualism, where something spiritual is good and something that's matter, something that's made, is bad. Well, that's not what happened. When God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't say, oh, well, it's not quite as good as spirit. He said, it is good. And so, matter and the earth, there was the fall. And so there was the curse. But then Christ came, and by becoming matter, by becoming one of us, he once again sanctified that which he has made. And then through his death and resurrection, he destroyed the power of sin and death so that it would have no more power over us. And so that's what we depict. When we depict Christ, it's not just, like I said, it's not some pretty picture, but it reminds us of the fact that he became one of us, that he became matter, that he sanctified the world through his incarnation. And so when we see Christ, obviously we see Christ, when we see his mother, even when she's not depicted with him, with her, we're still seeing Christ. We're seeing Christ in her. When we see these saints, when we see St. Peter and St. Paul, it's not about the people, Peter and Paul, but it's about Christ in them. As St. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So when we venerate the icons of the saints, We're venerating Christ. The worship goes to Christ, who's shown through them so much that when we see them, we see Christ. And if we don't have the icons, if we don't have the depictions of our saints through whom Christ shone, how can we see Christ in our neighbors? How can we see Christ in those around us? If we take away that which Christ did by becoming material, by becoming us, it's too easy to miss the fact that Christ is in those sitting on our left and our right. Because we were created in the image, in the icon. That word in Greek, icon, means image. We're created in the image, in the icon of Christ. And so we're called to represent Christ to one another, but we're also called to see that image of God in one another. And when we can't see it in the saints who've run the race, who've finished the course, how can we see it in our co-strugglers sitting next to us? And that is what this Sunday is about. This Sunday is about the icons being put back in their proper place. And for us to give the worship to the Creator through venerating the icons. And for us to give the worship to Christ, who's so shown in the life of the saints, that we can venerate their icons, knowing that the worship goes to Him who created them. But also to us to show veneration, to show respect to one another for that image of Christ that is in each and every one of us. So may we see Christ in the icons of Him and of His mother and of His saints, but may we also see Christ in one another. And may we seek to pray for one another and to encourage one another through this time of the great fast, so that we may all experience together our risen Lord on Pascha. To His glory, that of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.